media for justice, a media service for people's voices and human rights. I am Sipho Sindiswa, reporting from Johannesburg. About 10 months ago, the public watched in horror as 34 Marikana miners were gunned down by the police in front of the international media. Since then, the Falam Commission set up to investigate the reasons for both the strike and the massacre has its main focus on the police brutality. When Media for Justice went into Marikana with our cameras to speak to the community, it became obvious that it is by no means the only brutality that they are dealing with. We speak to the community to find out what sort of lives they lead and the reasons for the ongoing strike action.
Amapolisa xa ethi ebezikhusela ayazilungiselela kwisimo asesenzile. Qha umthetho ona ufanele uphande. Xa uzikhusela awuna ubulala abantu bade bayehlanwini kungekafi nomnye kwaba uhamba nabo kanti usazikhusela. Uduye kumashumi amabini usabulala. Uphinde uyofika kumashumi amathathu. Usabulala uye kumashumi asixhenxa nesibhozo ulimaza usithi ngelo xetsha uyazikhusela. Laa ntetha yokuzikhusela yintetha nje yoba bengazi okanye befihla le nto uba kutheni bebulala abantu. Basuse umbuzo ngendlela futhi ekungeyiyo.
Kere batho ba le batho ba ko mining le batho ba kwa. Batho ba mining ba gatelela batho ba mai ba ba berekang basebetsi. Ga ba batle go bana ntho e ba e batlang ka nako e ba e batlang ka yone. Ba batla go tsaya nako ya bone. So these people ba mo ba sokola we are real.
So now regarding laba ba tshonile umphakathi particularly abomama baphetheke kanjani?
Yo, e buhlungu le nto, e buhlungu serious. Ga gona mme o batlang go o batlang go santse aka ntho e ka tswelela go buiwa ka yone because e botlhoko real because banna ba bone ba sule boyfriend tsa bone bana ba bone di-bread winner tsa bone di tlhokafetse mole and basadi ba bantsi ka mo ga ba bereke ka mo motseng so banna ke bone ba berekang bontsi ba bone although mine ga e batle go hira bo mme e na le di-storytory tshwanetse ba lekantshe gender equality ba e lekantshise ko mining
empilweni ya mme ngazange ndayiqonde into yokuba ngale nyanga yomama ka-August ingalilanga lam lokuphalaza inyembisi ndilahlekwe ngumyeni wam xa kunamhlanje nje andazi uba kuyawuthi kuphi kube kuphi lo mntana nale minyaka imibini uyawuthi esenze 5 years abephila ngantoni xa ngoku ungekho apho ndizocela khona irandi yokuthengela umntana amazimba akhona uba ndingasefuna i-stock sweet ndizayicela kubani uzawunxiba ntoni ngoba azamphuma ezimpahla kwaphinde azithengele ubani andithethi ke ngosesikolweni njengbehamba ngemoto andimazi uba uzawuphinda imoto ibhatalwa ntoni ngoba uyatravelisha wenza u-standard 8 nemeko yokutya andazi tatandazi
ndizibone ndilunye ndizandikubona ubuthongo xa lisithi ipolisa lo mntu omhlophe ithi ready yakwakwafuri mabulana umongameli wethu akasikhathalelanga shee okokuba umongameli besikhathalelele yonke le nto ngeseyiphelile amadoda ahlezi endlini akaphangeli sinabantwana zikhali ifowuni abantwana baseba-yunivesithi ayikho imali bayagxothwa ezikolweni abantwana beziphathi basezikolweni komalandana abantwana bethu bahleli phantsi abafundi ngoku mna ndithetha ngowam ndithemba kahlale phantsi imali anayo seyunivesithi ekapa kuma wafunda isikolo sifa ubuhlungu lento ayithetheki and ayiphatheki abuyehle ubuthongo andikwazi ukuyithetha le nto ndiphazamiseke kakhulu ngentlungu endiyibona kwabadada abadada behleli apha akumnandanga thina bomama
Oh yeah, so you do any job so far, you are a general worker. All right. Now since uqalile usebenza apha, you say you started last year. Ni last year.
Last year was September.
Okay, so it's almost a year usebenza khona. In usuka apha ekhaya.
Limpopo.
Now indone exuse all the way from Limpopo uzosebenza kude kangaka.
Kungabi nomsebenzi emakhaya.
Yeah.
So yiyo le nto yenza ukuthi ndizosebenza la eLondon ngoba emakhaya kunamsebenzi.
Now since ufikile ustartile apha ngoSeptember last year, nisebenza kanjani?
Ya umsebenzi unzima ngoba nale mali esiyithola incane anikhona ukwenza niks. Hayo, ngiyahluleka nokubhatala irent yomkhukhu so bonakala ngathi anisebenzi kodwa ndiyasebenza.
Now le ngxaki yakho yokuba kubona akubonakala buyasebenza kodwa usebenza nzima. I'm sure nabanye abasebenzi banengxaki ekwafanayo nale yakho ne. Yini inkinga enihlangabezana nazo as a result of imali encane niholayo?
Inkinga esihlangana nazo ukuthi singakwazi ukubhadala amatsala wethu esikweleti zethu. So singakwazi nokondla ifamily zethu ngoba sihlala kude nefamily yami. So kusukela ipompo ndizohlala la eVonderkop kukude. Funeka uma ndithola imali ndiyithumele ekhaya ayenele kule nto ndifuna ukuyenza.
Na ma uhlulakala ubhatala irent for indawo ohlala kuyo, what do you then do?
Ayikho enye into singayenza siyanyamezela kodwa siyabona uba kunzima.
Ngandlela esebenza ngayo sebenza kanzima kakhulu. Uziqonda nomsebenzi endiwusebenzayo, ndisebenza umtshini, bhola umtshini khona apha eFortchaf. Le mali ndiyirholayo ingu-4,000. Manje ke ngole 4,000 heyi ayindonelisi, ziningi iinto endizenzayo ngale mali. Ndinabantwana, ndiyafundisa nezitolimente endinazo kwiishophu ezithile ke ezinkulu ngokule 4,000. Manje nokusebenza sisebenza nangapha kwe 8 hours ngoba umthetho wona ku 8 hours kodwa ke umsebenzi ungahambi bemningi manje sisebenza ngapha kwa 14 hours sophuma ngo late kakhulu akho mali ke siyitholayo ukuthi manje overtime masithole into siphuma sinjalo
don't get overtime
ayibhatali
we are about 10 even that side sinabantu aba yenza kwelikali ngapha abanganazo imbiza nesitofu ndingabuye bazoboleka ngapha sisebenzisane sonke ngapha siphekele sisonke ikamiri 1 ithatha abantu by 6 ngoku ka sesidibene sisonke ndingathi singaba ngapha asakhumbula kathi singaba ngapha ka abantu abaphekayo singayenza abantu uma 8, 9, 10 lapha sibaninzi kakhulu
so ininika ubunzima obungakanani into yokuba nonke ixhomekeke kule plate stove
ubunzima wakhona ngoba siyamelana ixesha lethu itshi ixesha kunabantu abasebenza nathini abaleleyo emini abakwazi upheka ixesha labo lopheka kusukela ngakuma-3 apho khona baqalisa upheka ngakuma-3 zonke zifuna upheka nathi abakuphangele ekuseni siyafuna upheka ngoba sifuna utya silale yabona then abanye abantu benechip babe bayelate uphangela bangakwazi upheka uyabona ibe apho ke sifumana ingxaki khona ngezi sitofu esisebenzisayo
is it possible ukuthi because of into yoba ikhitsha inayo kahle into yokuxhomekeka kwesaf stove esiyi-1 ibaninzi kangako ikhe ivuse nengxabano
iyayivusa kakhulu yona ingxabano ngoba omnye umuntu afike ngoba jahile ufuna usimbiza yaomnye ufuna upheka le mbiza yaomnye ayikavuthwa then ibe ngxabano eqalisa apha
kuthini umkwenyana engathi yonke into embi kuye eyenzekayo nendlela ahleli ngayo engathandekiyo akho mntu uyihoyileyo norhulumente ingathi akahoyanga kodwa sithi sikhululekile.
Into ekhona apha esibonileyo saqela ngoba sisezimayinini sifumane indawo inje sawuyaka kunjalo nje. Into ekhona ngoba sawuthetha kubo abantu abaphetheyo apha akho mntu ozohoyayo. Yangena kubo bayibhale phantsi qha ukuthi ifike phambili kwabadala ayifiki. Sawuhla kuhlala kunjena akho nto eqhubekayo apha eqhubeka phambili.
Ifuna ukubuza abelungu abasebenza apha elonini nabo banabafazi banabantwana efemelini otherwise ukhomperishe indlela abahlala ngayo bona nabantwana babo nabantwana baba basesikolweni yonke le nto leyo ngoku umbuzo onokutsolisa kubo.
Kanti ngalobu ndingaya kubo ndibaqela ukuthi madoda make sijungeni apha niphila khona na apha nibeke thina khona kule ndawo esihlala kuyo ibe ziyafana izindawo bake basifanise nabo sike sike ndithi kumake sitshintshe ke uzohlala apha ke nam ndohlala kwakho ndibone wena uzawukwazi uhlala pha uyabona into endiyaziyo kasoze nayazi kuya ngoba naye self akakwazi ukuza ava kunengxaki yapha azi ngokwathi khawuthi ndojonga pha abantu baphila njani abandisebenzelayo akakafiki nofika apha qha kuzawufikele nto abantu abathumayo qha nabo kabafike bathatha iindaba babuyele kuye akho nto ezaqhubeka uphele lapho.
With us today is David van Wyk from the Benchmark Foundation. David, welcome. Talking about mining, you know, about 10 months ago we saw a strike in Marikana, Lawn Mill and so on, leading up to the killings. Can you tell us, particularly for those who don't know, the events leading to the strike and the massacre?
Well, I think that South Africa experiences waves of strikes every year starting in April, May, and the Platinum Belt has had a cycle of strikes every year since 2000, I would say. And the strike starts probably up in Lucca and Chaneng, on the western limb and on the western side of Rustenburg, and then sweeps through all the mining corporations operating there and usually ends on the eastern side at Marikana and then often sweeps back again. It's not a new thing. They've had these waves of strikes year after year after year. That it ended up in the massacre in 2012 is what makes 2012 a different year from all other years. And I think that it is possible that the government and the corporations decided to make 2012 the year of reckoning, where they wouldn't back down and where ultimately they would stop using the velvet glove and resort to an iron fist, which of course is ultimately what the Marikana massacre was about.
Now when you say use harder tactics on the part of the government or the police, you know, and these there's a history behind these strikes, what actually contributed to these strikes? What are the social circumstances that actually lead to these strikes that ultimately resulted in the Marikana massacre?
Well, I don't think that it's the government and the police that are solely to blame for what happened. I think that the mining industry itself and the levels of collusion that occurs between the ruling party, the government, and the mining industry in this country contributed to some extent to what happened. The other thing, of course, is that mining, despite the mining charter, remains largely untransformed and operates much in the same way as it did under apartheid on the basis of a cheap labor system. Possibly things have even grown worse because of the living out allowance and mines not creating family accommodation for mine workers, and single men living in the hostels being gradually pushed out of the hostels into informal settlements, or people settle, consider them to be squatters. And what then happens is you have huge communities of thousands of workers living in zinc shacks in close proximity to the mine, And in these communities, no one wants to take responsibility for those communities. The mining company says it's not their responsibility, it's the responsibility of local government. Local government says it's not their responsibility, it's the responsibility of the traditional authority. The traditional authority says these people are not members of our tribe, therefore we don't see why we should take care of them. So you have these communities in which there's a huge vacuum of government services and government regulation and so on, right outside the mines. And the conditions in these communities really are quite appalling. If you consider that mine workers do shift work, many of them go on shift in the middle of the night, and the guy lives in a zinc shack, there might not be electricity. In many cases there is no water, or there's water only at certain times of the day or night. You know, if you're a rock drill operator, you dash out of your zinc shack grabbing two slices of bread and bologna, and you work an 8-hour shift without any breaks or anything in between, and then you come back again. So a lot of these workers suffer from poor nutrition, and in summer the shacks are incredibly hot, in winter they are very, very cold, and people would take a grate and make a coal fire inside the shack in winter and inhale all the smoke and so on from that, on top of the smoke from the nearby smelter and so on. So there's huge problems with respiratory diseases amongst these workers, and also the communities that live with them in these squatter camps. And what happens with the traditional communities that live in these areas is they lose their land to the mines, and very often the land is what defines the role of women in these communities. And so when women no longer have access to land to cultivate, and their role as the providers of food is destroyed, the women often resort to contractual sex with mine workers in order to put food on the table for their families. So you have a toxic combination of factors there that leads to the degradation of people, and that undermines their human dignity in the process as well. And if we consider that we had a colonial history starting in 1652, and an apartheid history starting in 1948, where black communities were ignored by successive governments and were only used as cheap labor. When people went to the elections in 1994, they went to elect a government that would listen to them. And so there is huge disappointment in these communities that there is a government that seems not to listen to them, but seems obsessed with listening to the mine bosses instead.
You know, talking about, the air, you know, people using heaters, you know, all kind of forms, you know, and the asthma problems. Mm-hmm. Can you give us an idea of, you know, the pollutants that are around that area, particularly for the miners, you know, who have to go underground using all different kinds of chemicals and so on?
The air quality in the Rustenburg area is rather poor because most of the smelters burn coal. And from coal you get sulfur dioxide, and from the trucks and so on you get carbon dioxide, and you get a whole mix. South African coal also contains mercury, so when you burn it you pump the mercury into the air, and it's very bad to breathe that as well. Now, you know, apart from that, the mining environment and the processing environment is full of dust. You get a lot of platinum dust, and workers can contract platinosis. There are a whole lot of silica mines in the same area as the platinum mines, so one would not be wrong to assume that silica also plays a role with regard to the lung problems of workers in the area. And then of course there's TB as well, and virulent TB and HIV and AIDS because of all the transactional sex and so on that takes place in these communities. Now, the mining companies have a habit, and I once discussed this with Richard Spoor, who do a lot of cases around silicosis in South Africa's gold mines and so on. And he indicated to me the mining companies have a policy every year of doing medical checkups on workers when they come back from their holidays in December, when they go back to the areas that they come from, the labor sending areas. And when the lung function of workers fall to the point where the worker could possibly go to court, to sue the corporation for contracting an industrial disease as a result of the work that they're doing. Workers get retrenched when their lung function reaches, just before it reaches that critical point where the worker would have legal recourse. And then when a worker is retrenched, that worker goes back home, and because the lung function is affected, he becomes a liability to his family and to the community where he comes from, because he would be incapable of doing physical work as a result of his poor lung function. There are a variety of other problems as well. You know, the mines are the biggest contributor to hearing loss in South Africa. And so a lot of mine workers lose their hearing. And when you do lose your hearing, it becomes a huge big problem for mine safety, because you can't hear the sirens and so on, and the warnings and so on that are given in order to protect you. The issue with hearing loss is interesting, because having spoken to workers both at the Lonmin shafts and also at other shafts in other areas, including Anglo and Royal Bafokeng and so on, workers are not issued with new earplugs every day. Our workers at Lonmin told me that they get earplugs once a month, and a set of earplugs can only really be used effectively for one day. You know, it dries out, it becomes completely ineffective within days of first use. In fact, just in terms of hygiene, it should be discarded after 24 hours with new ones being issued. So we've got the world's richest platinum mines effectively being too stingy to give their workers proper earplugs. Okay, and very often the working environment is also very, very hot. It's very hot underground and so on. And workers, just for the sake of breathing, take off the dust masks and so on that they are supposed to wear, because it's difficult to breathe with a dust mask on. And then, of course, they tend to inhale the dust. Because of the water shortage in the area of Rustenburg, but in many other areas in South Africa as well, including the gold and uranium mines around Klerksdorp, they use semi-treated sewage water for the rock drills and so on. And that in itself can cause problems. You know, when I was working in the Northwest Government, we had outbreaks of cholera in Klerksdorp, which is a very, very dry place where you should not have outbreaks of cholera. Mm. And it's because of the semi-treated sewage water. And very often mine workers complain of stomach problems and so on, because they get sprayed with this water all the time when they are underground.
Often miners we spoke to in the past have mentioned foot problems. Mm. Could you please, if you know, touch on that, the cause of that too?
You see, as part of dust control, the mines also spray the underground with a lot of water. So the workers trample through mud all the time. Or when you're operating rock drills and so on, there's water constantly spraying on you as well. This mix of mud and water tend to go into your boots, okay? Your gum boots that you are wearing. So
added to the heat, you know.
Or added to the heat and everything else, you know. So you get a lot of workers who start having all kinds of problems with their feet. Their feet literally start rotting as a result of this, you know. So, you know, there's just so many problems being associated with working underground in these conditions, you know, where you, for the sake of maximizing profits, South African mines always complain, corporations always complain about costs, you know, costs are so high, the profit margin is so low, which is not true. You know, that they constantly cut costs, and very often the cost cutting takes place at the cost of health and safety.
Next week, we look at the socio-economic and environmental issues the community is dealing with, as well as the issues of corporate responsibility programs. Is Lonmin investing in communities? And if so, how much are they seeking to improve the lives of the miners, their families, and the communities in the settlements around their operations?